What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning into episode 8 of the Competent Conversations podcast, where we're enlightening others so that they can be the best version of themselves. I'm here with my co-host, Taekwon Lino, and today we're going to speak about decision-making, and more so decision-making, better decision-making so that you could live a productive life. And we have a bunch of key examples that we want to use for topics, and we're going to just take it and run with it. So, Taekwon, when you think of decision-making, as far as how it plays in our lives, as well as some of the most recent news and stories that's out right now, what do you like deduce from that?
I think the key thing with making decisions is to constantly like evaluate the pros and cons. I mean, we say it all the time, and people make fun of people that make a list about this, but ultimately, that's what we do when we're thinking, right? We're making like a mental list of these things. And I think if you need to make that physical list, make that. But ultimately, the decision-making is going to alter your life drastically. If you look at the news recently, this whole Juice WRLD situation, his whole death and his passing is really sad, but it's a lot of poor decision-making in that whole ordeal. That whole situation could have been much different.
Absolutely. I don't know much about the Juice WRLD situation. We touched on it briefly, but like I know that substance abuse was a huge thing in his life, and that's a decision right there. Like I used to work in substance abuse, and I know that there's some rough circumstances and scenarios, and a lot of the times when someone's addicted to a substance, it's because it's filling a certain void for them. Mm-hmm. And there's a great euphoric feeling in the thing that you're doing, but especially with Juice WRLD, I know his one of his addictions was Percocets. So like, but then you realize like there's the other side to that thing where you're getting sick or it's like messing up your decision making. It's you're losing your memory. You're in a different state all the time, so you're doing stuff that you wouldn't typically do, or you're not logically thinking through the consequences, pros and cons of situations. And you're getting sick at the end of the day too. So like, there's a whole lot of things that can impact our decision making, and a lot of times it's circumstantial. But we have to let our willpower and our strength, mental strength mainly, override that weaker side of ourselves that wants that quick gratification, even when times are hard.
Yeah, I think the Juice WRLD situation, for everybody who doesn't know about it, pretty much news articles are saying that he swallowed a bunch of Percocets while the feds were raiding his luggage. It's alleged, there's no proof behind it yet, but anybody who knows his music, knows his lifestyle, knows that he was addicted to the Percocets, addicted to lean, smoked a lot of weed, he struggled with depression, anxiety, he talks about all this stuff in his music. And I look at the situation, I love his music. I'm not going to say I don't, you know what I mean? I love his music. I love his creative ability. And I think we lost somebody who was really talented. But looking at it from like a different lens, this kid just turned 21, right? I'm 28. I lived 7 years longer than this kid has, and he's already gone. I look at his music and see who he's inspiring. My brother put me onto Juice WRLD. Me and him used to talk about that. My brother's 18 years old. We used to talk about Juice WRLD, and that was like one of the things we found in connection with each other. We could bond over that. So now I'm like, yo, my brother can easily be influenced by this guy's music. You know, he could look at the situation and get two different things from it. He could say, Juice WRLD live a fulfilling life with all these drugs and everything. I want to do that same thing. Or he can look at it and say, this man made some crappy decisions in his life, and I never want to do that as well. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And says something about Juice WRLD, the way he, there's something you touched on, but it reminded me of the Meek Mill interview that just came out recently. And he was talking about some of the decision making that he had made when he was addicted to Percocets, and also the decision that he sees other artists make around him. Like when Juice WRLD died, he said a lot of the people that's in his circle was like, listen, well, some of the people, I'm not gonna say a lot, but he said there was a couple of people who said, I'm gonna drink even harder now. And like, mm-hmm. he was talking about how using substances kind of messed up his decision making, and he did some things he wish he kind of didn't do in the game that kind of brought him some more controversy and stuff. So, like, I mean, it's a hard thing. And again, like, he spoke about how the people from his neighborhood, some, you know, the stuff you go through at night when you're laying down and you can't sleep, sometimes you want that Percocet, sometimes you want that weed to help you just ease your mind so you can fall asleep and carry on with your life. So I understand, like, exactly why decisions are made in that sense, but it's like, you gotta just think of the long term. Like, anyone who's going through hard times and your decision making is challenged, you have to always look at the long scope of things. Like, how is this going to affect me after this small gratification is done? What do I really want out of my life? What do I really want out of the situation and circumstance? And how can I move accordingly, move in a way that is going to produce that for me?
Right. I know we did an episode about substance abuse, and we talked about some of the reasons, some of the underlying factors, but right now we're doing decision making, and I just want to kind of clarify, like, there's two different things, because even though decision making, or substance abuse rather, it can influence your decision making, but ultimately you're in charge. I know Juice WRLD tweeted something out about he's going to stop doing lean because he's playing his girlfriend through mad different things. I never really followed him on social media. I follow his music, but just hearing that, like, he honestly made a choice. He was going to stop doing this. He's going to get clean. That was his vow, and he didn't get a chance to see that through, which kind of saddens me. Like, I would like to see him do that and then make cleaner music, you know what I mean? So that other people can be influenced, like, oh, this is where I can take my life. Because we're all listening to his music, and we can relate because of the depression. We can relate because maybe we want to take those drugs. Maybe we do take those drugs just to kind of aid that depression, that the severe anxiety. Sometimes you don't have anywhere else to go. And I think his music provided, like, a blanket. It made you feel comfortable. It made you feel like you're not the only one in this world that's going through this stuff, especially somebody of such a high stature to do that.
Well, with that being said, though, when you say, you know, it makes you feel like you're not the only one doing it, does that make it better, though, because the crowd is doing it, so it kind of justifies, like, even when we get in trouble, let's say, and, you know, even at, let's say as kids, but I'm sure even adults do it, they're like, oh, but this one did that, or but that one's doing it too, or but that doesn't mean anything. Like, and it's funny because I was just at a business meeting yesterday, and this lady came up to me who's part of the NAF program, and she was like, she wants me to speak because they have, like, an annual conference where, like, 1,500 people come, and she was like, she wants me to speak, and then she was like, one of the main things, like, she was like, if you see something, say something, right? But kids in high school don't follow that because they want to be cool. It's like, they, as kids, we want our parents' approval. As you get older, you want your peers' approval. So you're going to do things and follow certain codes, even if it doesn't really make sense. And it's funny because this complements Meek Mill interview as well. He was talking about how there's certain codes in the street that literally don't make sense when you step back and look at it, such as, like, not snitching on your friend, even though he did a crime, let's say a murder, and you were around, you didn't know that was going to go down. But if you snitch and say, hey, that wasn't me, you're automatically a rat and you're going to have consequences for that. But going back to these kids, it's like, they don't have that individualism. And it's like if the pact is doing it, it's okay. So that's also a dangerous thing. And that can compromise someone's decision-making, because the question is, are you deciding for yourself, or are you deciding for acceptance, or are you deciding for acceptability, right? Like, you have to understand that you're never going to be fully content if your decisions aren't circled around doing things that are going to produce the best life for yourself and help you to grow into the best version of yourself. You're always going to be discontent in some way.
All right. So, I mean, to answer the initial question, do I feel like that's, like, the right thing to do? No, but, you know, there are people that's going to follow. I can sit here and preach individualism all day. That don't mean people are going to follow and listen to what I'm saying. You know, we all follow other people, other role models, for whatever odd reasons. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's people that's going to follow Juice WRLD's steps. And I feel like I said, his music made it comfortable, like, to deal with depression. He used that stage, that platform, as a way to talk about mental illnesses in a way where it's not like I'm just fast-forwarding through it. I'm literally telling you my day-to-day. This is where I go through. I'm suffering. It was a cry for help, but at the same time, you can listen to it and you can express that same thing within yourself. That may make you want to go talk to your parents or talk to your friends, like, yo, listen, I'm going through this, or like listening to his music loud and on repeat, that may be a sign that you're crying out for help. You just want somebody to come and knock on your door and say, yo, you okay? You good? You know, yeah. So I think his music did allow that conversation he had. Yeah. So if people can take away anything from that, like, yeah, time to open up and, you know, talk about these elements. You know what I mean?
For sure, for sure. So what other areas do you feel like decision-making, I think decision, well, they say we make like, I forget the number, but a whole bunch of decisions in a day. Like, mm-hmm. we don't even think about it. And, mm-hmm. oh, this reminds me, like, I was talking to someone at a networking event this past Thursday, and they were talking about these agreements that we make, which I've heard of before, but she highlighted it, and it reminded me, but it's pretty much like, since we were babies and growing up, unconsciously, we've made agreements in our lives, which are decisions, in a sense where you could have put on a shirt and your dad said, oh, that doesn't look right. Or, oh, red's not your color. Right there, you agreed to that. Or like, oh, my bad. I didn't even notice my bad. I was even putting two and two together. But now that ain't your color, bro. You got
to switch. I'm having to change.
Yeah. No, but like, yeah. So like, you make agreements all throughout life. Music, maybe that makes you make an agreement. If it makes an impression on you at a young age, or just little things throughout life, you see something happen. Let's say. And you make a judgment, or you make a distinction between how you feel about that thing. Now you just made an agreement, right? Like, so we're making agreements all the time, and these bigger unconscious agreements are influencing the smaller decisions that we're making on a day-to-day basis. Like, because those overall agreements are governing your life, and you make decisions that meet those agreements. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think we do make a lot of decisions in the day, and most of them are unconscious. I think when I look at decision-making, I like to look at people like Einstein, and I'm going to include Sherlock Holmes in this.
You look at me? I appreciate that. You stupid.
Einstein had a set of suits that he would wear daily. He used to think like it was like dirty because he wore the same thing every day.
Yeah.
But it was more so like he eliminated that thought process of having to think about what to wear. You know, if you buy the same type of underwear, the same undershirt, the same pants, same shirt, same socks, you never have to think about, oh, this doesn't match, it doesn't fit right, it doesn't feel right. Yo, it's the same thing every day, you just keep going. Yeah. And a little bit of that extent, Steve Jobs, with his turtlenecks and his Walmart jeans and New Balance sneakers, like, same thing every day, just to, you know, focus the energy on something else. I brought up Sherlock Holmes because he has this idea. They displayed on Elementary. I don't know if it's actually a theory that was stemmed from the show or if it was like actual in book somewhere, like, you know what I mean? But it's called the Attic Theory. And the Attic Theory simply states, I can only focus on but so much. The brain is like an attic. You can only store so much stuff in there until you have to start deleting things. So you would pay attention to only the finest details and start deducing from there. If it was BS to him, if he categorized it as BS, he just throws it out, doesn't pay attention, shuts his brain down, and doesn't acknowledge anything else that's going on around him. So, yeah, we make a lot of decisions, but you got to find out which ones are actually worth it. And that's where the whole Attic Theory comes in.
That makes sense. And you had mentioned, you just said Steve Jobs, which reminded me something you mentioned earlier today. Mm-hmm. When, not today when you guys were listening, but we were talking about it. You were saying how he spoke about how his death, once he knew he was going to die, his decision-making changed and he became way more productive and just doing things in general that he may not have done or was holding back on once he knew that there was no more time left. So I think that kind of complements everything we're talking about with Juice WRLD, like we referenced the Meek Mill interview, and death was a theme in that, though it was because more so flawed decision-making. When we're talking about death, when someone knows death is approaching, it seems like they start doing things more fearlessly because the end is near, so let me just go for it all. And that's also where a lot of the cliches come from of, you know, live every day like it's your last, or a lot of philosophies believe like if you no longer fear death, you kind of start living and you start living differently opposed to someone who does fear death. So what do you feel about death and decision-making, and how does a lack of fear of death or just knowing that death is coming influence someone's decision making?
There is a lot to unpack with that. I did write down the initial Steve Jobs quote that I just want to go ahead and read right now. So he says, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall in the face of death. They fall away, leaving only what is truly important. So like, you don't really pay attention to being embarrassed anymore. You're going to die. Why does it matter?
Yeah. You
know, remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You're already naked. There's no reason not to follow your heart. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to get there. They don't want to die to get there. You know what I mean? They're afraid of death.
Yeah, they want to go through that experience.
Death is the destination that we all share. No one has ever escaped it, and that's how it should be, because death is very likely the best single invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that in mind, those big decisions, I mean, this guy, for crying out loud, gave us the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone, and all his generations, you know what I mean? The innovation. If he can just think about his death being that motivated, that soul motivated, we're all going to die, you know what I mean? So why can't we go ahead and use that as a motivational tool as well? Tupac was one of those same people who he felt his death was coming. I actually did the research today. I forget how many songs he did, but it was like within 11 months, he did 3 movies, and he recorded 5 to 10 songs a day for 11 months.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's wild. Well, that's why he's on that legendary status, because they give it, it's like when you know that the end is near, mm-hmm. or that you're going to leave and transform from this world soon, you just all, it's like, all bets are off. Like, there's no holds barred. That's a better way to say it. There's no holds barred. I'm just going to go after everything. But that's also why the person who doesn't fear death while they're living and maybe not even close to death, we don't ever really know when we're close or whatever. But, like, if they just overall live with a mindset of not fearing death, you realize that you're going to leave. So you live like that on a day-to-day basis of giving it your all, not worried about being embarrassed or made fun of, because you're doing, that's if you're doing something that's greater than yourself. Like, if you have a purpose and a calling, and I can speak from my experience, that's how I feel. It's like, because I know that I'm not going to always be here. While I'm here, I'm trying to give all that I have, because I have a passion that I really can't control, and I know something greater gave it to me through my life experience. So it's like, knowing that is what gives me the courage to keep going.
Yeah, I think the other thing I was going to say was Juice WRLD. I don't know if he had this in his mind that he was going to die or anything like that, but they said he would record, well, actually, he said it himself, he would record like 5 to 10 songs a day as well. Mm-hmm. And most of his songs were just like freestyling off the top of his head, whatever he was going through, whatever he felt like saying, just threw it out there. Mm-hmm. It's said that he has about 2,000 songs that are unreleased already.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't even been out that long. You know what
2,000?
I mean? About 2,000 songs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I read something earlier today that said Lil Uzi got like 1,000 or 1,500 songs with Future or Young Thug, I think it was. So,
well, the Future?
I think it was Young Thug. I think Young Thug and Uzi Vert got like 1,000 songs together, something like that.
I mean, so, put together?
I think they collaborated on 1,000 songs.
Really? Nah, yeah. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know, but
when they do on their own, they collaborate on 1,000. That's a lot.
So when Tupac was doing it, he had like 30 people in the studio, and he would just lay some tracks, have somebody else do it, and then he would jump on something else. I mean, if you got 2 people doing it over how many months or how many days you're in the studio, I guess it's possible. You know what I mean?
A lot, though, maybe.
But for Juice WRLD to single-handedly have 2,000, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you work, if you're doing it with your, like, do you, does the artist have that much time to do their own music and that on top? That's what I'm saying. You can make, I think Lil Wayne, they said 1 year he made 2,000 songs or like something like that. Like, in 1 year, I believe he made like 2,000 songs. And they said he beat Tupac's record. This was years ago. But like, I don't think that's impossible for someone who does it all day, every day, like they're doing several songs per day. But to do, that's what I'm saying, they work like that for themselves. So you did that and collab with another artist to do another 1K. I mean, maybe. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that would take a lot of dedication. Like, damn it, you ain't doing nothing else.
So with Tupac in that 11 months, they were saying that he would wake up at like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, go to a movie shoot, and then after that he would just go to the studio and crank out all these songs because he felt like he was gonna die soon. He wanted to leave his impact on the world. So for that, it's like your work ethic has to be crazy. This goes back to Steve Jobs saying like death is a motivator. Like you know you have limited time, so you're gonna crank out as much effort as possible. You know what I mean? And of course, like we looking at it like maybe that's kind of hard, but these guys got millions of dollars already, you know what I mean? So they don't go through the same thing like, oh, we gotta go to a 9 to 5 and do this. Like they can focus all that energy into their passion. You know what I mean? So I mean it is possible, you know what I mean? Definitely is. And that goes back to that decision making. If you know you're gonna die, you're not worried about does this word rhyme with this word? I'm gonna just put it out there because when I'm gone, they're gonna have to decide for themselves. Is this a good song? Is this a bad song? I ain't gonna be here. That's on you guys. You know what I mean? Like your decision making changes, you
Yeah,
know?
for sure. Is there anything else you wanted to say? I think we got a lot of good points across for this episode.
Yeah, I kind of just wanted to just talk about the drug overdose. I remember J. Cole came out with the album KOD and it kind of stood for Kids on Drugs or Kill Our Demons. And I think the Juice WRLD whole thing, like that whole genre of music nowadays with the depression-esque vibe, I guess. I think the kids need to really start paying attention more so to what's going on around them because this is our next generation coming up. If these kids are overdosing on drugs and everything like that, what does that say about our future for humanity? You know what I mean? Like we need to tighten up the war on drugs if that's still around. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely something that we should speak on and more in our culture. Like my brother, I would hate to see anything like that happen to him. Like 18 years old, my brother Juice WRLD is 21. Like it's not too far to think about that. Like Tupac and Biggie, they died around 25, 23, 24 around there. These kids ain't even getting to live, dog. That's crazy. Like,
I always get puzzled when I really remember that, when I really reflect on like your Biggie was 24, Pac was 25. Like that's younger than we are now. And they did everything that they did and were who they were by that age. That's freaking crazy.
So when it comes to that decision making, it's like we got to be more responsible. We got to take heed, look at these examples. So yeah, you can live like Biggie and Pac. You can put all your effort into these baskets and make your passion fruitful, or you can like go ahead and say you're gonna be a pill popping rapper, but and you're just popping pills and not actually rapping. Like, where's your productivity gonna be gauged at? Where's your progress gonna be at? You know what I mean? I think we need to really just look at our lives and figure out how can we go to the next level. You know what I mean? Whether that be like creating a vision board or something like that to like kind of show your future where you want to be at. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's something to it though.
Yeah, for sure, for
It's gotta be
sure.
better.
I agree. I agree. But yeah, man, those decisions will propel you forward or hold you back. Like, I mean, like we said, these artists did amazing things by the time they were 25, 24, 21. That doesn't come without, like they say, I don't want anyone listening to take this the wrong way, but that doesn't come without being a killer. Meaning, like, you got that mentality, like, this is happening. I don't care about emotions. I don't care about nothing. I'm going after this thing and nothing else matters. Like, I'm a heartless towards my craft in the sense of, like not heartless in the sense you don't love it, you love it abundantly, but it's like nothing else will get in this way, in my way of this. Like this is getting done regardless. So you can't accomplish those great things at such a young age if you don't have that mentality, and that's a decision in itself. And to the person who does get that tunnel vision and laser focus on what they want, it's inevitable that it's gonna produce something fruitful for you. There's a different time span for how long it takes for different people, but if you have that approach, you're gonna make it.
Yeah, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, if I remember this story correctly, he was training for one of the Olympias and his dad had died. I think his dad was in Germany. I don't know where he used to, I don't know where he resided from, right? But his dad was back home in whatever country. And instead of Arnold flying out for those 6, 7 days to be with his family, His response was, okay, I'm not going there. He's already dead. What can I do?
Really? Was he close with his dad?
He was close with his dad, but the reality was still there. Like, yo, I got this big competition. I got this big thing that I'm trying. I've been chasing this all year. I've been chasing this for 10 years, 20 years. Like, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I got this big event where I can become something of myself. He's already gone. There's nothing I can do about
it. Oh, found out on the day of his event?
I don't know if it was the day of the event, but maybe the week leading up to that. Okay. But they still, like, bodybuilders are still training throughout that time just to make sure they're, you know, they've got to do the dieting and whatever regimen they got to go.
So it was that type of tunnel vision. That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't break this because he's dead. Like, I'll pay my respects when I get done with what I'm doing right now. But right now, this takes precedence over everything. That's a huge decision making skill right there as well. Like, to have that much discipline and focus, that tunnel vision, like you just said, to sit there and just eliminate everything else. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
True. Yeah, we did cover a lot, bro.
I think it's good right there. I think it's good. We gave you all about a 25-minute session. Mm-hmm. I hope that those listening really got something from it and understand why you should make the right decisions or the decisions that are going to best suit you for what you want in life, because the world is your mirror, and whatever you go ahead and decide and put out and the way that you choose to live your life based on these bigger agreements and these decisions that are within those agreements, it's going to show you yourself, right? So you got to be cautious of that, be cognizant of that. And if you make the ones that are going to complement the direction you want to go in, you'll be happy and you'll see the reward for that.
Yeah. Don't forget, we all have that decision to make every single moment of life, you know, whether you eating right, eating on time, going to work for somebody else, whatever. There's always that decision. Like you said, we make so many decisions a day. Like making up your bed or brushing your teeth or whatever. Like, there's always a decision to make. And I think we touched on it in our last podcast as well. But, you know, as far as having 24 hours in a day, those opportunities, you got 24 hours in a day and all these opportunities, you have all these decisions to make as well. So don't just rush through the day because you have some type of obligation, like work or something like that. Mm-hmm. You have to make certain decisions every day to benefit yourself. And I know that a lot of jobs don't care about you. You're just a number to them. What do you care about for yourself? Make those decisions for yourself.
Absolutely. Well said. For those who want more content from us, you can follow myself at Rashard.Neal on Instagram. You can follow me at freedom.fit.coaching on Instagram. You can follow me at Rashard Neal on Facebook. Rashard Neal page is the quote unquote business page or fan page on Facebook. YouTube is Freedom Fit Coaching. Snapchat is Rashard.Neal. And my email is Novee at RashardNeal.com. And the website is RashardNeal.com. So, guys, we link everything on our platforms, and we make sure that you can find our latest project. So if you enjoy what we say on this podcast, please go ahead and check that out. And we're going to just even continue to dive deeper, and you get a feel for who we are as people, as well as what we bring to this podcast. And it may mean more to you when you check it out. Taekwon, tell them where they can find you, man.
All I do is fit on Instagram. All I do is fit on Snapchat. Taekwon.Lino. Oh, I don't know why I'm saying that. Taekwon Lino on Facebook. Man, I'm getting tired. I don't know if it's
correct. You're trying to copy me. You're trying to copy me.
I got a website coming soon. It's going to be all I do is fit.net. Look out for that. And my man Rashard got this clothing line he just launched. Oh, you forgot?
Man, you silly. No, I appreciate that. Guys, I did just launch my first clothing line. It's called Novi Apparel. It's the realest clothing line that you're going to find. It has a purpose. It stands for New Life of Freedom. And there's a crown on it that represents the fact that God is King. So I'm going to drop that link below, and I want you guys to check it out. I want you to check out that clothing line. And if you like something, it's going to be a perfect gift for the holidays. So thank you guys for watching. We appreciate you guys like always. This has been episode 8 of the Competent Conversations podcast, where we talk about decision making. So hope you enjoyed it. See you guys next time.
Peace.
All right.